The truce is over, and TBO-NAFI is ready to split. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Doug Stewart, who, besides being the 2004 National CFI of the Year, is the spokesperson for the TBO-NAFI Interim Working Group. TBO-NAFI stands for Take Back Our National Association of Flight Instructors. Aero News listeners are pretty much familiar with the controversy that has been developing. Doug, first of all, welcome in. Tell me what the Interim Working Group is within TBO-NAFI.
Well, the Interim Working Group is just a group of six of us who were willing to volunteer our time and step forward to help guide things. At that point, Rich Stoll had been carrying the ball for everyone, and I found out now that I've been thrust kicking and screaming into the lead just how much of a load he was carrying. So we really started off to help carry that load, and also because one of the big things that we've really been accentuating here is that we want a member-centric organization. And so to move towards that direction, we felt it best to put together this group of folks, and we come from all different realms of within aviation. For example, I am a flight instructor, make my sole living in the right seat. We've got university folks, all kinds of good, intelligent, unemotional folks who are sitting on this group to help guide the direction that the TBO is now headed.
And I have to note a few emotional ones as well. Has that been somewhat of a drawback, you think?
Well, you know, as pilots, we're all type A. You have to be. It's a prerequisite to be a pilot, to be pilot in command. And typically we type A folks tend to be passionate and sometimes get emotional. Well, the problem is that sometimes the emotions can be counterproductive.
All right. Let's talk briefly about the email that you sent out on Monday, and I'm just going to read a couple of highlights from it. Today, the die was cast. As many of you might be aware, emails were sent to the NAFI Board of Directors and Tom Poberesny presenting our petition requesting the resignation of the entire NAFI Board of Directors. Included in the letter was a request for action by the Board of Directors no later than this Friday. I'm going to stop there and ask you the rhetorical question, is there any hope that the board action would come by Friday? It seems to be kind of a moot point at this point.
To be very honest, Paul, no. Their actions to date have been, and it's funny because in preparation for you calling me, I kind of went back to look at some emails. And in all, I see all these emails that I have sent to the board, and not once has there ever been a response. So were they to respond now, I think it would be highly significant because it would perhaps show that they have realized the danger that NAFI is in and that maybe they truly do have the best interests of the organization at heart. But do I personally think we'll get a response? No.
Okay, so in the meantime, the wheels have been turning. There's been a poll posted on the TBO-NAFI website since early December to help choose a new name for a new organization. And your email of Monday continues, voting is still going on for you to help choose our new name and approve bylaws. Voting ends this Friday. Once a name has been chosen and bylaws approved, the group will incorporate as an education foundation under 501c3. Then as soon as possible, a nominating committee will be set up to find nominees for the board of directors of the new organization, and you will get to vote for them. Now, I have to observe, Doug, that that's a pretty ambitious schedule because, as NAFI has demonstrated, these things can't be done quickly.
Well, to show you, when you have impassioned people working together, the idea for the petition came about on Tuesday morning. And on Wednesday, at 3 minutes before 1 o'clock, that petition went live. Now, I didn't do that all by myself because we endeavored to be a member-centric organization. We endeavored to be transparent. We endeavored to be all those things that we have accused NAFI of not being. This took a lot of work from a lot of people in four different time zones. There were drafts or rewrites of the drafts. I think we probably went through five drafts before we got to a final draft of the petition. This was a lengthy process, and yet we were able to do it in literally less than 30 hours. yes, we have a daunting task in front of us to set up a new organization, if that is indeed what ends up happening, and it does look like it will be that way. But as I say, everyone here is eager to help, is motivated to help, is fired up to help, and when you've got that kind of energy at work, things do happen quickly.
Now, I want to move to Rich Stoll's comment to me a few days ago about a poll that was going on your forum, and at last count, the question, should NAFI be revamped or should a brand new organization be formed? And we should point out that this represents the opinions of the folks who are associating themselves with TBO NAFI at this point. The vote was 307 in favor of a new organization and just 64 in favor of revamping the existing organization out of a total of 371 votes cast. Do you think that there's support to go through with this, even if NAFI makes some moves of reconciliation?
That's an excellent question, Paul. I sound like a politician now. That's an excellent question. It's a tough question. It's one, actually, that I put to Tom Poberesny, and Tom and I have had numerous conversations over the last 2 weeks. And I emphasized to Tom that because he's really encouraging us to wait and be patient and work with NAFI. And I said, Tom, the Indians, not the natives, the Indians are restless here. And how do you propose that I hold them back? I've promised you moderation. I've promised everything I can do to work within my power to fix NAFI rather than to destroy it. But, I have to listen to the desires and wishes of the entire organization. I'm just a spokesperson. So it's an excellent question, and I suspect the general consensus of the group is to move ahead and start a new one.
Let's talk about the relationship between NAFI and EAA. Now, TBO NAFI has asked EAA to disassociate itself, or at least to break the affiliate relationship with NAFI. What's behind that?
Well, as you are aware, or perhaps not, or the listeners certainly are probably not aware. In 1995, the EAA and NAFI signed an agreement of affiliation. And in fact, a lot of our problems run back because it was at that time that the NAFI board rewrote their bylaws, creating this board of directors in perpetuity, just so that in case EAA tried to take over, they would have the strength of the fact that their bylaws said they couldn't be removed. But in the interim, the EAA has invested enormous energy, and sometimes that could be interpreted in dollar signs, but EAA has interpreted enormous energy into assisting, aiding NAFI. Certainly NAFI is, and especially the Master Instructor Program, because that's really what in many ways NAFI is about. It's what has brought it to recognition, and EAA benefits from that. EAA is very vested in their new Learn to Fly Center. It was new this past year, and they're looking forward to make it even bigger this coming year at AirVenture, and they're counting on NAFI to do that. But if NAFI is just going to thumb their nose at the Experimental Aircraft Association, we're encouraging EAA to remove that affiliation and start looking for another organization that might better represent EAA's needs.
With an obvious hint at where they might find such an organization, I would guess.
I wouldn't have a clue to that, Paul.
Well, is there any thought, Doug, is there any thought that the affiliation with EAA has created some resistance to changing the structure of the board of directors? Because, after all, that had something to do with the way it was set up in the first place.
That might be part of the mindset of the current directors, but I can't speak for them.
Okay. Well, listen, we're going to take a break. There were a lot of details to be released on Monday about this going forward. I want to ask you about a couple of other things that were issued in press releases and then just ask you a couple general questions about going forward. My guest is Doug Stewart, who is 2004 National CFI of the Year, also spokesperson for the TBO NAFI Interim Working Group. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here, and I'm talking today with Doug Stewart, who is the spokesperson for TBO NAPI's Interim Working Group. This is an organization which is at the forefront of what looks like will be a new flight instructors organization that may start sometime after Friday. We're talking about some of the governance issues that have affected NAPI and the relationship with the folks who think things should be changed. And, Doug, I want to move on to a couple of things that have been in press releases. You commented that despite an assurance that all parties involved would collaborate to enact substantial changes, the board continued to do nothing except expend NAPI's limited financial resources, hiring public relations assistants and legal help. And you commented, it seems incredible that a board composed of several lawyers finds it necessary to hire outside counsel. I would have to observe that a group of lawyers might be the only ones who would appreciate the need to hire outside counsel. But aside from that, that small point, it was this kind of symptoms of hunkering down against the storm rather than dealing with what needed to be done in your opinion?
From my perspective, Paul, it's blatantly obvious that that is what it is. If they were genuinely sincere in trying to work through the problems to create a member-centric organization, Tom Poberesny, way back in October 24th at the board meeting, gave two different suggestions to them, two different proposals to move ahead to get through this ruckus, so to speak, and create a board that was member-elected, not totally member-elected, but at least 51% member-elected, 49% appointed. And he had also, even in one of those suggestions, suggested that the entire board resign. If they were genuinely sincere in trying to move ahead, in trying to make NAPI an organization that truly is forward-looking, representing instructors' needs, showing by example the virtues that we need to grow grassroots aviation. If they were truly interested in that, I can't understand why they are expending limited resource on what has to be a very expensive New York public relations law firm. And if I could go on to say, Phil Pointer sent out PIREP. It's in a e-mentor, a biweekly newsletter that's sent out to NAPI members, and the end of it, he says, NAPI in crisis, not from where I sit. However, if you go to the website of the public relations firm they hired, their specialty is crisis and critical intervention. I can't help but think that they are not interested in really working through the problems, but just trying to protect themselves and sustain their membership on the board of directors.
Let's talk about the resignations. Robert Wright, who is one of the NAPI directors that remained on the board, issued a statement announcing his resignation from the board and from the organization on Monday. And Robert claims to be one of the point people within the FAA who was responsible for the approval to use NAPI master instructor credentials in lieu of the biennial requirements that other flight instructors had to go through. His resignation seems significant. Is this, do you think, in relation primarily to what happened to Sandy and Joanne Hill, or is this a governance issue thing, or both?
I think it's both. Bob certainly, I think, has been one of the greatest assets the board could have had short of the Hills. He certainly understands what's going on in general aviation. He is certainly an advocate for moving ahead, for having a member-centric organization. And mind you, there has been just incredible resistance from the current board, even to put in voting in, as an example, an active flight instructor onto their board. There are numerous ones of us who are all active flight instructors that have volunteered to be on the board since back in 2003, 2002. Folks were starting to volunteer. We want to see an active one. Bob has sat on the board and watched this go by. He didn't come onto the board, I believe, until 2005 or 6 after he retired from the FAA. But he certainly is able to see it. He has that perspective of seeing it from both sides. And he knows how important the Master Instructor Program was to NAFI. He saw how the Master Instructor Program brought validity to what NAFI did, brought the integrity to what NAFI did. As the general manager of AFS 800 that he held from, I believe, 2000 to 2005, he was the one who saw the Master Instructor Program get the ability to renew a CFI through Master Accreditation and further add on the Gold Seal designation if you held a advanced or instrument ground instructor rating. So Bob is really been able to watch this from both sides. So I think his resignation from the board really has great significance.
All right. One of his comments in his resignation release said, "We should all reach a decision regarding the instructor organization that we choose to support. I have made my decision, and I urge all flight instructors and aviation educators to make their decision in a timely manner." There seem to be a lot of people sitting on the fence on this. I know that from a political standpoint, obviously, I can think of a number of people who might be in a position to want to choose carefully here, or at least wait to see how things shake out on Friday.
Absolutely. To be very honest, for a lot of master instructors, the accreditation means an awful lot to them. And I personally am not encouraging anyone to go out and resign from NAFI yet. Bob did it as a very poignant statement of his feelings about what is going on. However, Bob is not a master CFI. He is a flight instructor. He does hold a flight instructor certificate, but he's not a master. And there are a lot of masters out there who are not eager to lose that accreditation. It means a lot to them. It means a lot to their career. It means a lot to their income. I don't think there should be a big rush to jump ship, so to speak, but the writing's on the wall.
All right, let's talk about the significance of the 9 members on the Professional Standards Committee resigning. It was presented as reflecting the ongoing crisis between the Board of Directors and TBO NAFI. But what was their remaining role actually at this point anyway, after the Board of Directors chose to name a new committee to oversee the applications for the Master Instructor credentials?
Well, I must admit to you, Paul, it seems a little bit moot at this point, but I think it was just another statement of impassioned response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the members of that Professional Standards Committee, the members Professional Standards Committee that resigned from that committee today, there's some very major heavy hitters. Susan Parson, who is the editor of the FAA Aviation News, she sat as the chairperson of that committee. That committee had worked hard for 2 years. They did file reports to the board for the board annual meeting, and it's almost like the board just threw it in their face. And in fact, as Jason Blair and Phil Pointer went out trying to recruit new master CFIs to sit on their new professional standards committee, they didn't even realize that the committee actually existed and had filed reports to the last 2 annual board meetings. It makes me scratch my head as exactly what was NAFI thinking. To this day, I still scratch my head on that one. So as to the importance of the resignation of the member Professional Standards Committee, I think it's merely a statement to the aviation community that some very significant people with incredible integrity feel strongly enough about this to step aside and say, we don't like what's going on.
All right. I want to talk briefly about one remaining, maybe what you'd call negative point, but I want to bring it up and air it out a little bit and then talk about moving forward positively. Intellectual property, including the names of the designations within the program, the application and review guidelines and processes, everything down to the pins, plaques, and other award materials were designed by folks who are not going to be involved in, anymore in NAFI. And there seems to be some dispute over intellectual property. This was new to me, and I hadn't seen any mention of this until a couple of days ago. Is it the intent of TBO NAFI to force attempt to force NAFI to give up using these or simply share them with a new organization?
To be honest, Paul, and I'm not trying to be evasive, but I'm not really sure that I'm in a position to address that question thoroughly. I do know that NAFI has sent, or NAFI's legal counsel has sent letters, kind of like a cease and desist order, and trying to take over all of the Master Instructor program and everything that goes with it, applications, press releases, the pins, the plaques. There's a great deal of question over whether NAFI has the right to any of that stuff. And from what I know of the situation, the contract merely was for these people to review applications. The whole rest of the program, which includes everything that was in that release about the IP stuff, does not belong to NAFI. And it'll be interesting to see what happens now, because it's certainly an issue of contention.
All right. Final question. There's been obviously a lot of rancor in this debate. You know, I think of parallels in the way the primary presidential campaigns wound down, where people who had been butting heads for a long time had to roll together, you know, once it was all over. If you form a new organization, you won't necessarily have to be buddies with NAFI, but you're going to have to pull the community together, and you're going to have to attract members with something other than a group of protesters. And that's sometimes a difficult transition to make for people who are doing what you're doing. What do you say going forward to people who might be considering the option of joining a new organization?
Well, Paul, I have been, this was the title bestowed on me, not one I chose myself, Chief Flight Instructor Specialist at Air Venture at the Flight Instructor Headquarters for the past 6 years. And basically, my job was to oversee all the volunteers at the tent, and our primary function was to recruit new members and encourage renewals of current members. And as the years went by, it got more and more difficult for me to feel anything but a hypocrite, because I would go out and encourage all my volunteers and myself as well to go up and talk up the people who came into the tent to get them to join NAFI. But what did NAFI really have to offer other than, oh, it includes a subscription to Flying Magazine, and so you'll get Flying Magazine, and it's like you're getting all of NAFI for free. Now, that's a pretty poor way to sell an organization. And yes, it's going to be hard to get going for something new, but what we want to do is create an organization that truly stands by its code of ethics, one that truly strives to move flight instruction to the top of the aviation career ladder. That's really where it belongs. One certainly in which every member has a say in how the association is directed and has the opportunity to take part in that. You know, we need an association that leads by example. And the current NAFI Board of Directors certainly does not do that at all. Our code of ethics says that we will act with integrity, that we will act with professionalism, that we will respect our fellow instructors. Their actions have done nothing to indicate that they follow those codes. So my attitude is we're going to create a much better association, and if there still remains a choice, there might be, there might not, I'll ask you, would you join the quality one, even though it's not as much quantity, or would you go for the quantity?
Well, I'm going to treat that as a rhetorical question, Doug, and we're out of time anyway. but I do want to observe that your phone and your computer may be worn out in the next couple of weeks while this thing unfolds. Please get a new one, because we want to keep in touch and see how this thing goes after Friday.
It'll be my pleasure, Paul. Anytime, you give me a holler.
My guest has been Doug Stewart, who is the spokesman for TBO NAFI's Interim Working Group. You can find out more about TBO NAFI at the website, www.tbo-nafi.org. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero, that's A-E-R-O-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.